This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.
Buddy, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of the 2023 CUNA GAC here in Washington, D.C. And look who I ran across in the hallway. Just so happened to
just
run into.
Just wandering around.
I know. There's Jim Nussel. No, CUNA's very own Jim Nussel. Good to see you, Jim.
Great to see you.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Glad you're here again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And
not
it's always
all.
A pleasure. It's always an adventure coming here. My gosh. And you guys are bursting at the seams here with almost, 6,000 attendees? Congratulations on that.
Yeah, in fact, we're going to have to talk to the convention center about getting a bigger boat.
That's
right.
This is
exciting. And, I mean, part of it, of course, is just people are excited about being with credit unions.
No doubt.
But the other side is people just want to get out.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, it's kind of a big family reunion, and it's been pent up for
mm-hmm,
a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's a little bit of both going on, but we'll take it.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah,
that's what I was interviewing Todd Spaczynski, and he was saying when the GAC moved from the Washington and Hilton to here, everyone's like, how are we going to fill up this room?
Right.
And now you guys are bursting at the seams here, so which is a good problem to have.
Yeah, it really is.
Yep, everyone's breaking records these days. All right, so what are your thoughts on this year's GAC besides the mass attendance? What are some items that are being talked about? And besides your Yellowstone, oh my gosh. I just found out about that, by the way.
So Karen and I, we always try and do something fun just to kick things
off.
And to showcase the fact that this is a family affair.
Right.
I mean, it really is.
Right.
A lot of people bring their spouses, families, in order to be part of this. The credit union movement in and of itself is a family affair.
Right.
So we do that in part to emphasize that, and then to just do something silly.
Right.
Gotta have fun here. Yeah, we have a lot of serious things to talk about, but
we
let's have a little bit of fun while we're here, too.
Levity is always a good thing, for sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just real quickly, what was the Yellowstone? For those who didn't work here, can you share with us,
Well, so I tried to.
What it was all about?
I tried to. The theory was, so Kevin Costner's announced he might step back.
That's what I heard, yeah.
So, we need an audition.
There you go.
Maybe somebody else to fill in.
Nice.
So that was kind of the premise, and I was doing lines about how I love my family and the valley, but there's a lot of wolves out there that might be attacking us.
Okay.
And so it was kind of a little bit of challenges and opportunities for the credit union movement in the valley of the Duttons in Yellowstone.
Gotcha.
It was goofy, but it was fun. That's all we were trying to do.
I heard it was well received, so you did a good job for sure. Well received. All right.
All hat, no cattle is what Karen told me afterwards. Thanks a lot.
All right. Hey, let's talk about CUNA's priorities for the year. What's on the docket here? What did you talk about on stage?
Yeah, so it's advocacy first and foremost.
Yeah.
And it's in a challenging environment given the fact that the Congress is so dysfunctional and the United States government, in part, seems to be paralyzed in many instances when it comes to just making decisions, dealing with things like cybersecurity. I mean, how many years have we had that on the agenda? And
it's
difficult. We do have a couple of bills that are starting to move.
Good.
But no light at the end of the tunnel yet on that. And a lot of other opportunities, too, about how can we serve more people. We, the members of Congress like to talk and lecture us sometimes about, the needs that are out in America today. We are the consumer-friendly financial institution, cooperative finance, and we are already delivering financial well-being in the marketplace. And so give us more tools and opportunities to do that.
Yeah.
That's what we want to do. And I think, too, the other part of this that we're, I think, getting better at is not only telling our story, which we've always, I think, been pretty proficient at.
Mm-hmm.
What we're gaining proficiency in all the time is backing it up with data so we can say, this is what we're doing.
Right.
This is the impact. This is how it's changed lives.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're working on next.
Mm-hmm.
So backing up the stories with data, I think, is giving us a little bit of an edge according to the research we're seeing about just how effective we are in our advocacy.
Those numbers, as you well know, make the headlines.
Oh, they do.
For sure.
Or they back up the headlines, right? They're the kind of the grabber. The one I will never forget, probably the most famous one in financial services history, is when the Fed came out and said, you know, people don't have $500 in their emergency savings.
They're still talking about that.
They're still talking about it. And that's been like 7-8 years ago now. So numbers, together with the story it tells underlying those numbers, can be hugely impactful.
Yeah, we had Troy Stang in here earlier from Go West, and they're kind of on the Credit Union Day road tour of their six states, and they're preaching the same thing. Use those numbers for sure, and it raises eyebrows.
He's got a great impact, so Credit Union impact at the local level.
Yep,
so that's what we're doing the national, we get that, but what Troy and Go West is doing is more at the local state
stuff.
Level. Mm-hmm. Each credit union now needs to do that at their level.
Yep.
How does this impact your the next member walking in the door and the next neighborhood that you put maybe an ATM or a branch in? Mm-hmm. That's where we need to take it next.
Right,
and that's
right.
What credit unions are starting to do as well.
Yeah, and talking about impact, because you talked about banking deserts as well. We talked about that for a number of years. So can you share with us kind of your premise on banking deserts and why they're out there and how credit unions can take advantage of that actually?
Well, we all remember the time when community banks were our direct competitors, in part because they were really good.
Yeah.
They were owned, operated in the communities that they served.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go to the local banker's home. I mean, they lived in town and they owned the bank, and it was probably a family business from three generations.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen anymore. They have sold. Their kids don't want the bank in their family anymore.
Yeah.
And so they're selling to bigger regional banks at the regional level or at the global level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no longer community finance. And those banks are making dollars and cents decisions, not about serving people, but about the bottom line for their shareholders.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're pulling out. They are abandoning a lot of places that can't make money.
Right.
Well, who's left?
Right.
We are.
Right.
And so across the country, credit unions are becoming the community bank financial services opportunity for everyone. And so it's not just about serving the next member who walks in the door. We are and need to provide leadership in the community the way it's traditionally been done.
Right.
Because that lifts everybody.
Yeah, and when you say deserts, it's actually kind of a metaphor. It's not like, hey, you know, there's no branch out in the middle of the desert, but this can be like in downtown areas where there's no financial institution there to serve the folks
or
in that area.
It's a branch of, you know, Bank of America. Well, they're not doing anything in the, I mean, you can go get cash.
Yeah.
But they're not like involved in the United Way. They're not involved in Little League.
Mm-hmm.
They're not looking to see, hey, there's a problem in this neighborhood. How can we be part of the solution? That's not what's going on when you have those big conglomerate branches there.
Got that right. And that kind of segues my next, what you talked about, being the consumer protector as well.
Yeah.
So can you share with us your thoughts on that?
Well, we started that way. That's how credit unions started, is consumers were having a problem getting access, and they said, hey, let's get together and figure this out together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what we've been doing forever. And it's only been in the last 10-12 years that the federal government has decided, well, we need a CFPB to tell everybody how to be consumer protectors. We are the consumer protectors.
Yeah.
And I think we need to be a little bit more edgy about the fact that we are here for, we know these members better than any of the bureaucrats out here in Washington do. They're well-meaning. I don't mean to disparage anybody, but our frontline member services folks and our credit union folks that are here, they're the ones who know our members better. They know what they need, and they are motivated to help them because of the model that credit unions stand on.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I tried to do with Chopra yesterday.
I was about to ask that.
Yeah, that's what I tried to tell him, both backstage as well as when everyone could see it. And I hope he listens. He hasn't been listening as much as I would hope he would, but he did give us a couple of things yesterday that were interesting that maybe we can use to our advantage.
Good. Yeah, I was going to ask you, how'd that conversation go? Because I'm sure that was standing room only in that room, based on what's going on. What's going on very recently.
My frustration, and I said this, is that it used to be there was a regulatory process.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had this regulation by enforcement. When CFPB came in and they had enforcement action, it caused everybody to go, oh my gosh, that's what they're going to measure now?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's regulation by tweet. or by press release, or by, hey, I know, junk fees. And everybody has to react to that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I told them, I said, you can't do that. That doesn't, that's not helping us or you in what you're trying to accomplish.
Right.
Let alone the fact that when you do that and you throw everything into one bucket and say junk fees, well, you're not recognizing that there are things in that bucket that don't belong. Mm-hmm. And I think the product of particularly things like late fees for credit cards, people need credit cards. And if they don't come to us for it, they're going to go to some less reputable place for that with higher interest rates and everything else.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And the same is true with you know, with products that, you know, manage your overdraft.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, if they don't come to us for that and we don't provide them that safe, secure product,
they're there for a reason.
Yeah,
you know?
They're going to go somewhere else.
Exactly.
What if you're chasing them down the street to someplace that CFPB doesn't even manage anymore?
Yeah.
So I tried to give that him, you know, give that to him. And he did say yesterday that if there was any glimmer of hope, he said, well, I would consider a model-based two-tier regulation, meaning, so maybe there's the for-profit, maybe there's the cooperative not-for-profit.
Okay.
I'm gonna push him on that, not here, but you know, as we go
forward. That's gonna open the door a little bit.
It might have. I tend to be an optimist, so I'm gonna go there.
We like that.
Right. But I'm not sure that that's enough just yet, but it's at least something we might be able to pull off.
Good, good. Well, that's good news for sure. Hey, on a lighter note, you're going to be talking with Condoleezza Rice a little bit later today. So I'm really can you share with us a little bit of a preview for those who?
Well, actually, it's international. I mean, she is.
Because you worked with her. Actually.
I did. Yeah, we served in the Bush cabinet together, and she's a brilliant. In addition to obviously everything that most people know about her from an international relations standpoint, she's a concert pianist.
Yeah.
I mean, and I've heard her play. This isn't just, you know, she knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
She's a scratch golfer. I've never golfed with her. I have bowled with her. Condi and I went bowling together. It's a long story.
Don't they have a bowling alley in the White House?
They do, but that's not where we went.
Oh, you didn't go there. Okay.
The cabinet went out to a bowling alley, took it over one night, and we went bowling together. Yeah. So Hank Paulson, Condi Rice.
Oh, my God.
Little Jimmy Nussle. You know, we're out bowling.
How much
I can't remember who won, but we had a blast.
Probably Condoleezza Rice.
She probably did because she could do everything very well, but we had a really good time. But no, we're going to talk. Probably, I hope we get a chance to talk about Ukraine. I hope we get a chance to talk a little bit about China coming in with regard to more lethal weapons that they're offering to Russia at this point in time. Hopefully, we can talk a little bit about Turkey and the challenges that are going on there.
Oh my gosh, I just read that
earthquake,
too.
Earthquake, and some of the other global challenges that the United States has a role in, certainly. And how do we? How do we think about that, and how should we maybe think about that? It's interesting when she came into the administration, she had gone through school as a Russian expert, a Soviet Union expert.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
Well, then the Soviet Union collapsed, and it was like, well, maybe I don't have, you know, maybe my expertise is not as needed.
Oh no!
It's as needed now as it ever has been. Yeah.
Heck yeah.
So she knows the history. She knows the. And she's obviously been there to do it.
She knows the landscape very, very well.
So I'm going to just give her the ball and let her run with it.
I would love to hear her response to China talking out of both sides of its mouth.
That's what I'm going
to
try and ask her about that.
Yeah, I would love to see what her response is. So yeah, that's going to be fascinating for sure. All right, last question for you. So what do you want folks to take away from the GAC this year?
Tell a great story about the credit union difference, a story that is personal from your experience at the credit union, how you've maybe helped somebody deal with their financial well-being as they walked in the door and as you presented them with a solution or a product. Second is back it up with data. What did that do for that person? What the dollars and cents, maybe the way that impacted the community, back it up with some data. And then third, whether it's here in Washington, during a GAC or a hike the hill, or whether it's at home, you have the opportunity to build a relationship with a policymaker that you know that that they want to be able to have because we're on the same side of the same side of the coin. We call them members; they call them voters, and we're together on solving problems for communities. And so, I think we have a lot to be able to work on. It's not Republican or Democrat. It's not partisan. It's not red and blue. All that kind of stuff. And so, I hope people lean into advocacy. It's not just about passing a law. It's about telling our story, backing it up with data, and asking to be able to do more in your community.
Yep. Good message to end
That's
on.
That's what it is.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to let you get back at it. I know you're a busy, busy guy. Jim, always a pleasure. CUNA's very own Jim Nussle. just bumped into him in the hallway, and here he is.
This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders. A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.